come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
We're going to have our memory verse, and you're going to want to stand for this one. Linda comes all the way from Long Beach. Na, 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 na. Everybody stand.
You have it all memorized? Here we go. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:16. Okay, you can do it, right? You got it? Okay, and here we go. You want to clap even. Here we go. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:16. Okay. I'm going to do it one more time. Come on. We can really do this. Here we go. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:16. And then this was a little bonus one, okay?
This is only for the
I just decided I was going to do it. I know Joy had encouraged us with the verse that the Lord had given her last year. And so I said, I'm going to memorize that. So here's that one. So this is Nahum 2, verse 1. He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the forts, watch the roads. Strengthen your flames, fortify your power mightily. Nahum 2, verse 1. One more time, because this is for us as well. I know it's Assyrians, but it's for us too. Here we go. He who scatters has come up before your face. So that's the enemy, right? The enemy's right there in your face. So what are we going to do? Man the forts, watch the road, strengthen your flames, fortify your power mightily. Nahum 2, verse 1. And where does our power come from?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus. There we go.
If we don't come out of this session knowing more scripture, it's not anybody else's fault but our own, because we just really get to participate in that. And so I really struggled with this chapter. I don't know about the rest of you. Did anybody look at it and go, what? I really struggled with this one because it looks like it's to the Israelites, but no, it was about Nineveh. It looks like it was to Nineveh, but it was, so we'll get into that in a little bit, but first we're going to start with, because really, it has that verse, he who scatters has come before your face, man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily, and that got me through 2020. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that really got me through 2020 and prepared me for it and caused me to to grow in at that time. So we'll get into that a little bit in a little bit, actually. So we're going to start reading, if you will open up your Bible, we're going to start reading from verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Nahum. So he who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily, for the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob, like the excellence of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. So they've really been destroyed. The shields of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots come with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the street. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their walk. They make haste to her walls, and defense is prepared. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed, verse 7, she shall be led away captive and shall be brought up, and her maidservant shall lead her as with the voice of doves beating their breasts. Though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, now they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake, and we need to be on those knees when they're shaking, right? Much pain is in every side, and on their faces are drained, they're drained of color, either from fear or from death. Where is the dwelling of the lions? And this is talking about Nineveh. And the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion walked, the lioness and the lion's cub, and no one made them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs, killed for his lioness, killed, filled his caves with prey and his dens with flesh. Behold, verse 13, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. And so, Father, we thank you that you have opened up this book to us, Lord. You have shown us what this book has to say. We thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful to us as we've been studying. I thank you, Father, for the ones who have really stuck it out, and they're here tonight, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have something for every one of us when we get in your word. And we want to bless you tonight. We want to honor you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify your name, Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth, and you deserve all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we get into the book of Nahum, we remember, the first thing we need to remember is that this is a vision. It's a vision. He wrote down what he saw. Remember to write down things that the Lord gives you. When the Lord gives you a prayer, when he gives you a prayer, but also when he gives you a dream, it's the same thing, only different. When he gives you a dream or he gives you a word, write it down, date it, put it aside. Maybe you don't know what it means right now. Nobody knew what Nahum was writing about right here, and especially Nahum didn't know about it. He just wrote down what he saw. And this morning, I mentioned this, and one of the gals came up afterwards and said, my daughter had this dream last night, and she began to share it with me. And so it was really from the Lord. It was really a dream from the Lord that this little kid had. And I'm amazed at what God's doing in this little girl. So Nahum is now describing in our text the events that would lead up to the capture, not just the capture, but the annihilation of the Ninevites, of the Assyrians, the complete annihilation of them. In verse 1, it says, he who scatters has come up before your face. Remember, this is just Nahum describing what he saw in his vision. So what he saw was in reference to, and I'm going to try to pronounce their names correctly, Cyaxares and Nabopolassar. Cyaxares and Nabopolassar. Anyway, one was the Medes, the Cy guy was the Medes, and the Nabi guy was Babylonian. So those are the two guys that they were, what he saw here, the armies of the Medes and the Babylonians. Here, Nahum sees the Medes, so he's watching this all happen in his mind's eye, the Lord giving it to him. He could see that the Medes had already overrun the countryside of Assyria. So he saw them already in charge of all of that. He could see the old lion withdrawing to his cave. That would be the king withdrawing, going into his castle, going into the place where he thought he would be safe and taking a stand in there and protecting that part of what he owned. The surrounding areas of Nineveh were already full of enemy troops, and the huge walls and the towers were surrounded. At this particular time, this is what Nahum saw. He didn't know exactly what was going on in it, but he wrote it down. The Medes and the Babylonians combined their armies and had moved toward Nineveh along the roads that reached into the city. Now, because this was a big city and because this was an area that was, everybody went to Nineveh. This was a place. This was the world. This was all of the world of that time. They had gathered everything to themselves, and there were all kinds of roads leading to it. And Nahum saw all of those roads overtaken by the Medes or the Babylonians. So they were all covered. They were all protected, and no way to get into the city. So they're on their well-fortified hills. They had, it was a bow-shaped rampart around the city, and it was already in enemy hands. That's what Nahum saw. It was already in enemy hands. They had plenty of water and walls within walls in Nineveh and in all that kind of, they had walls within walls that gave them a sense that they were really protected. They thought no one could get to them. But we'll see what happens. Even in the outlying areas where were taken, they could retreat behind their great walls. Even when the outlying areas were taken, they could retreat behind their walls and hope that the attacking army would just eventually give up and go home. I don't see that happening in what Nahum saw. They didn't give up because God was with them, and God was leading them away on their way. But what Nahum was seeing was that Nineveh's time had come. The Lord had used them to judge his people, and now the job was done. But during the time that they were doing the work of the Lord in the judgment of the Israelites, Nineveh, the Assyrians, had closed their hearts to the Lord. They had turned their hearts closed to God. They wanted nothing to do with God. They had gone overboard in what they were doing, in their evilness, in their meanness, in their all of the horrid things that they did. And during their time of being used as a judgment tool in the Lord's hand, the Ninevites turned their backs on God, and now the wages of turning their backs on God has come due. The wages of sin is death. Here we see what's happening to Nineveh. The wages of sin is death, and that's about what is going to be happening. In verse 2, it says, the emptiers, better known as the Assyrians, have plundered Israel. They have completely, they've emptied everything out of Israel. Out of Israel. Nahum could hear the Lord telling him to write, man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks. Oy vey. Man the fort. Watch the road. Strengthen your flanks. Oh, Lord, this is embarrassing. And fortify your power mightily. In verse 3, Nahum could see that the military clothing, the tunics of the attackers, were all red, that their shields were all red. That's what he saw. He's just reporting what he saw and trying to explain it. Whether the enemies liked the red or the shields were covered with the blood of the Assyrians, we don't know. But he reported what he saw. It actually is with the Medes and the Babylonians, they would wear red so that when there was an injury, the enemy did not see the blood. So that was the purpose for it. It could have been that they were seeing the copper shields in the sunlight, flashing in the sunlight. But whatever it was, that's how he saw it. He could see the bright steel of chariots reflecting the sunlight. Maybe the chariots had blades on them. And as the chariots went through the city streets, they would be used against their enemy. And when those blades hit someone, it tore them up. It tore flesh off of their bodies. It destroyed them. They actually used it against their enemies on numerous occasions when their chariots are going through and they would purposely run into someone and it would just like make hamburger meat out of the person and completely kill them and destroy them. So in verse 4, rushing to and fro, the chariots created havoc and panic in the streets of Nineveh, the blades cutting them in pieces and on contact. In verse 5, Nahum could see the Assyrian king encouraging himself by calling to mind his nobles and his generals. His nobles and his generals, what about these guys? They were the ones who assured him of victory every time. He could trust his generals and his nobles, but the spirit had gone out of them. Nahum could see that the spirit had gone out of them. Nahum could see that they were stumbling on their way to secure the wall. As they marched to secure the wall, his leaders were stumbling. The walls were strengthened by about 1,500 towers, each one of them at least 200 feet high. But Nahum saw that Nineveh's fortifications would prove to be vain, be a vain defense now that God had decreed the city's overthrow. So it doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter the strength. It doesn't matter what you have or what you hide behind. If God is getting to you, he will get to you. Your enemy cannot hide from God. Your enemy cannot hide under behind anything and not be seen by God. Our God has, and so the walls were strengthened like that, and Nahum saw the Ninevites' fortification would prove to be vain. Our God has weapons that can bring down the strongest wall, even the walls that you've been praying about. God can bring down those walls. Whatever those walls are, God can bring them down. In verse 6, it says, tells us the way that Nineveh's fall would take place. The gates of the rivers are opened and the palace is dissolved. Now, the Medes and the Babylonians had gotten together. We said that. And so they were going to fight together. How did they secure the fact that they were going to fight together and not become enemies against one another? Well, the daughter of the Medes married the son of the Babylonians. And so as they merged together, they were made stronger and they would not fight against each other. They would not become enemies, but they would fight together against the Assyrians. And they would do that because they're now family. And so the Medes attacked the city from the north. And at first, the Medes, when they went in, they attacked from the north. And when they did, they experienced a lot of people lost, a lot of death of their people as they went in from the north. And the Ninevites, now they were sure of their success. They celebrated this victory by a huge drunken party, and their enemy took advantage of, listen to this, the enemy took advantage of their lack of discipline. The enemy, our enemy, will take advantage of our lack of discipline. So God is speaking something to us. That lack of discipline, it must be in God's hands. We must trust in Him. We must keep moving in the direction that He tells us to go in. For now, or so they thought, Nineveh was safe. Nineveh thought during this drunken party that they were safe. They were secure. They were behind the wall. They'll all be fine. It seemed impossible that any army, no matter how strong or determined, could breach those walls. But God. In the third year, God directly intervened. And this is where our story continues. In the third year, God directly intervened. He walked about it. He didn't walk about it, but we did talk about it last week. So we talked about it last week, how the heavy rains came in and the flood came. The city had the Tigris River on the one side, and running through was the Kaiser River that ran through the city. And at the gates, they had a man-made canal connected with these two rivers at either side. The flood would have caused these waters to rise. The gates of the rivers were the heavily fortified, guarded gates at the points where the rivers and the canal came up and made contact with the wall. Okay, so what happens at the places where you have the gates? What do you do there? You guard them. You heavily guard them. And that's what was supposed to happen. But something else happened. These gates opened. Now, it could have been the enemy. And it could have been that there was a traitor amongst them. But this says it was the waters, aka God's hand, that opened the gates and brought down the wall. It brought down the wall because the wall, it went under the foundation of the wall. It washed away the foundation. We need to be so secure in our foundation in the Lord that no amount of flooding can wash that away. We need that kind of foundation. The wall only stays up when the foundation is firm and can stand against the things of this world. And so, that's what happened. Then in verse 7, it says, it is decreed, she shall be led captive. And what it is saying here is that Nineveh would be stripped of every treasure they had, of everything that they had, of every piece of clothing that they had. They would be stripped of it. It would be taken away from them. And they would be led away or they would be killed. Because you reap what you sow. This is what the Ninevites had sowed, and this is what they were reaping, the very thing that God had told them that they were after. And so it was during this time that the king, inside his walls, he set himself on fire and killed himself that way so that he didn't have to deal with the situation that was happening. He could see that they were on the losing side for the very first time in his life. And so he put himself to death. In verse 9, here Nahum describes the end for Nineveh, the spoils of all the city overthrown by the Assyrians in centuries of war had flowed into Nineveh. And now the invaders took all the treasure and apparently carried away all, every bit of them away. Because in verse 10, Nahum saw in his vision that Nineveh was empty, desolate, and waste. empty, desolate, and waste. Alexander the Great, we talked about him last week, had marched over the city without even knowing that he was marching over the top of a great empire as he went looking for Nineveh. Edward Gibbon confirmed in 1776 in his book on Western civilizations that even the ruins of Nineveh disappeared. Even the ruins of Nineveh disappeared. And so it became, like we said last week, it became a thing where people started believing that it was just a myth. This never really happened in Nineveh. Nineveh never really existed. It's just a story. It's just a big story about these things. And at that time, God intervenes. It was not until Layard and Boda, I believe, identified the site in 1842 that the city was rediscovered by the modern world. When it had become that situation where people said, no, this is not true, God showed himself to be a man of his word. He showed himself to be true. He showed himself to be the one that keeps his word. There are many people who don't keep their word. And sometimes we are those people who don't keep our word. We want to. We meant to. We had every intention to. And yet we find that we are fallen, that we don't keep our word. But God will always, always keep his word. You can trust him completely. In verse 11, where is the dwelling of the lions, Nahum writes. The lion, the lioness, the young lion, the lion's cub are all mentioned in here. He mentions every one of them, Nahum does. As a roaring and ravening lion, Assyria had terrified and devoured the world. But now it's about to come to an end. It seemed that no one could tame him. Nineveh's kings in 2 Kings 18:34 boasted, where are the gods of all these different cities? Where are the gods of all of these? But here in our text, Nahum says, where is Nineveh? You see, their pride could not sustain them. Their arrogance could not sustain them. It was time they had come down, and now Nahum asks, where is Nineveh? Nahum's contemporaries, who were Jeremiah and Zephaniah, must have asked themselves, what in the world did this guy have for dinner that he came up with such a story as this? This is an unheard of story. There is no chance of this ever coming true. When he prophesied, there wasn't even a hint of its fulfillment. In fact, one of the things that I read said, not even a cloud in the Assyrian sky. There wasn't even a hint that Assyria would be taken over, a hint that God would come through. And so it moves on into verse 13. We read the Lord's words to Nineveh. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. He's done with them. That is it. If that is what God said and did to the ones who had turned their back on him, what will be the situation against countries today that turn their backs on the living God? Only God. God only comes against a people as a last resort. He only comes against a people as a last resort. And as a result of long defiance and deliberate provocation, God gives us every chance to repent. And there comes a time where it says the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. And the time has come for Nineveh. So I have some questions for you to ask yourself. Who is the Assyria of our day? Who is equally determined to rule the world? Who is equally ruthless in war? Who is equally boastful of its power and its culture? Who is equally antagonistic to God and the Jew? So who is the eventual target of God's wrath? Something to think about, especially in the day that we're living in right now. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" In holy conduct and godliness. 1 John 2:17, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Let's walk in the will of God. Let's trust him. Let's keep our eyes on him. Let's not walk away from God. Let's not allow the world to enter in. Let's keep moving forward with the Lord. Now, I've read through a lot of stuff here, a lot of things that Nahum saw. But as I was reading through here, I told you I was struggling with this because I think that God has something to say to us today in this particular text, besides the fact that this really did happen. Nahum saw it. It really did come to pass. And now they are no longer anywhere else. But would you look with me in Nahum? And we'll go quickly through this, I promise. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, "I believe that God has something to say to us, and he had something to say to the Israelites of that time. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts. Perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off." So keep doing what you know is right to do. Keep doing what you know is right to do. If you made a promise to God, keep that promise. If you made a vow. Verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, "He who scatters has come before your face. We are to man the fort. Watch the road, strengthen your flanks, and fortify our power mightily." We are to be strong people. We are to be strong women in the Lord. Not in our own strength, but in the Lord's strength we can stand. "For the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob like the excellence of Israel." The Lord will restore you. God is going to restore you. He's restoring you at this very moment. Restoring that area that just keeps gnawing at you. He is restoring it. "For the emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches." They had taken everything. Everything. They took the raisins. They took the vine. They took everything. They took the grapes. They took the everything from them. And it speaks of the mighty men who came in and fought valiantly, and how the chariots raged. Verse 5, "He remembers his nobles." We remember those who were strength. We remember those who were strong. "They stumble in their walk." I don't know. I just think this has something to do with today. I just think that this has something to say to us today. Those leaders that we trust in, the nobles that we trusted to keep us safe, they stumble in their walk. "They make haste to their walls to protect themselves, and the defense is prepared. And the great gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved because it is decreed that I'm going to take them out." God is going to take out the enemy. The day is coming when he's going to take out the enemy. Where is the dwelling of the lions in verse 11? Where is that strong person? Where is that strong leader? And to have a nation, this was talking to a nation. Nahum was talking to a nation. And this nation, he says, "Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more." God said that to his people's enemies. God will bring down the enemies, his own enemies. God can do it. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay them." with what they have sown, they will reap. And so we look at this, and it's a sad thing, you know. It's a hard thing. It's hard to look at this. It's a tough lesson. It's a tough thing to learn that there are people that would be this way. And what God said to them, and what God said he would do to them. But it brings encouragement to us that God takes care of us. God cares for his own. He will carry us through all of it. He will open up the doors for us. He will care for us. He will love us. He has prepared a way for us. And ladies, we are living in the last days, and I hesitated this morning to say this, and I hesitate now, but feel that it's necessary, because I don't want to be charged with not saying everything that God tells me to say. I know that the rapture is coming, and he's coming for those who love his appearing. And I've been talking to people lately about, well, before the mark of the beast, everybody knows what the mark of the beast is? Everybody knows that? Show me your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. For those of you who don't, come and talk to me later. That time when there's a mark on us that we can't buy or sell without this mark, that time will come. And a lot of people have said, yeah, but we're going to be gone before that happens. And I personally do not believe that we will be. I believe that it is the wrath of God is not poured out in the mark. It is the wrath of God that we are not going to partake in. And I'm not talking about 3.5 years. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about this mark that we'll have to do things. I don't want you to look at things and not prepare for what you will do. Because I hope to be gone before that happens. I hope to leave long before that happens. But there is a very strong chance that that mark will be required, and we will go through some very hard trials. And some will die for our belief. It's already happening in Canada. It's already happening in other countries. And so I don't want you to be without knowledge. Be prepared for what God has for you. I don't want you to walk in fear. I'm telling you, I don't want you to walk in fear. No walking in fear on this. Just know that God will carry you through. Don't fret. Well, should I stock up a bunch of stuff? Should I do? You do what God tells you to do. You just do what God tells you to do. And do it with your whole heart. Listen closely. Stay in his word. Know his word. Know why you believe what you believe, so that when hard times come, you are prepared and you stand ready for it. And so, Lord, thank you. I thank you, God, that you are our strength. You are our courage. Lord, you are our strong tower that we run into. And Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that you don't want us to be foolish. You don't want us to be uninformed. Lord, you don't want us to walk in fear, because you are our comforter. Just as Nahum's name means, he was a comfort to them. He was a comfort to your people, knowing that you deal with the enemy. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to do a work in us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, Lord, to help us to walk in a day and go, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.